531st edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Heidi Ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 531 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, a bonus episode. It's getting not to be such a rare occurrence, bonus episode on a Tuesday covering regional MMA for you. This episode is going out to a fan of our regional content on YouTube, Maller Lipsky, who likes our non-UFC shows. We just dipped in for the first one, and of course, it was the one where Gumby hit a whole bunch of dogs. So that's a way to hook someone for sure. Obviously, this is Ariana Lipsky's burner account because they're not allowed to gamble anymore. But she does have her picture on the account. So I think I might give it away. But anyhow, this goes out to you, Maller Lipsky. Wink, wink, Maller. Thank you for coming to the show. Cage Warriors is what we're covering today. Surprisingly, when I crunched numbers, Cage Warriors is our second most popular promotion that we cover after the UFC, and it's very close to the UFC. So I thought LFA or Octagon would be above, but no, you people love your Cage Warriors. So we are bringing you what you love, hopefully. Cage Warriors 169, nice, is going down this weekend in London, and we're going to cover it. And we're going to cover it real good. See if there's maybe there's some news beforehand. We'll see. Let's bring in my co-host. Actually, I know what I can pitch to my co-host, Mr. Daniel Gumby Vreeland. It was a fight that you actually proposed. I'm not sure if you heard this before you proposed it or if everyone's just linking up, but Rose Namajunas was talking about possibly fighting your favorite Macy Barber next. Did you know that she mentioned that or not?
I had not. As I mentioned on our Sunday recap episode, I fell asleep at the end of UFC Vegas 89 because it ended at like 2 a.m. And I had been, you know, watching sports all day and fell asleep. So, you know, I did not see any of her post-fight speech. I had to go back and even watch her fight. So I hadn't seen that. That's a good matchup, though. It makes perfect sense. They're both waiting in the wings with the top four women in the division kind of busy. So I guess we will. Hopefully that gets made. I'd love to see that fight.
She also says she wouldn't turn down a title fight. Well, duh. Not many people would. So
would make her she's 1-1 in that division with a loss to somebody who is seemingly fighting in a number one contender fight?
Because she has the name, Gumby.
I get that.
The name.
I get that.
Or she had the name. So any names on this Cage Warriors card, Gumby? Quite a few names.
Yeah.
That I've heard of. Even me, casual me, have heard of a lot of these people.
Yeah, I mean, the first fight we're going to break down is a pair of flyweights. And I think whoever wins that fight is either on a short list for a late replacement kind of fight should they need somebody, or is destined for contender series in the fall. Both of them just like really entertaining, really exciting dudes, great personalities. That's everything the UFC is looking for. A lot of people have been calling for Jordan Vucinich to already be in the UFC, so like he's right on the cusp as well. There's a lot of people. I mean, Figlak's brother is fighting, is it this weekend or next weekend? So like he's already got a connection to the UFC.
There's
lots of people that we should keep an eye on.
There. Okay. I thought you were just going to pause there. There's lots of people.
There are lots of people in the world.
There's too many people. Thoughts on the strength of the card? No title fight up top, but sounds like there's a lot of familiar names at the very least.
Yeah, I would say the fun thing about this one is like there's enough people who have fought on a big level, will be fighting on a big level, or are like the matchmaking is just maybe more fun than most UFC or most Cage Warriors, most UFC fight cards, if we're being honest, but like most Cage Warriors fight cards A lot of times they have like meaningful fights in their division, but like stylistically, you're like, I don't know so much. This one I feel like is kind of more the other way. It's like the matchups are heavily entertaining, even if maybe there's not a lot of merit behind some of them, or not a lot of excitement behind some of them.
Yep. So yeah, better than a UFC Apex card a lot of times then, right?
Probably more entertaining. Very, very
nice. Yep. All right, let's jump into Cage Warriors 169. Nice. AKA Cage Warriors London. It's going down Saturday, which is nice because we have LFA that we just covered yesterday's episode. LFA is Friday night. So you're going to have to take a few hours. Oh, actually, that one's going to go late too, right? Because it's starting at 9. So yeah, a few hours off, and then you're back with the Cage Warriors, right? Our degens in the Discord will love that. When you have to sleep a couple hours, and then you got more MMA in your veins. So this is noon Eastern time on Saturday on UFC Fight Pass. So don't even bother turning off your UFC Fight Pass on the weekend. When's the UFC start this weekend? I'm assuming it's probably...
I hope it's earlier than 7 p.m. That was brutal. Yeah.
I don't know. This is a... it's a late one, Gumby.
Come on.
10 p.m. main card, 7 prelims. Yeah.
Again.
But so it's going to be all day again, Gumby.
I mean,
you don't even have to sleep.
I like that, but also just like 3 p.m. fight cards. Just saying.
Come on.
They're great.
So LFA, I guess you can sleep between LFA and Cage Warriors if you want, but you don't really have to. Then you watch Cage Warriors, and basically it'll probably end right around when the UFC is starting. So perfect, perfect, perfect. All right, this is going down. I told you when. It's on UFC Fight Pass. I told you that. Indigo at the O2 in London, England. 17 fights. We're going to – Gummy's picked the 5 that are – of most interest to him. Any other fights that are of interest to you, or fighters that we should keep our beady little eyes on?
No, I think I got most of them. Also, there's no bout order listed right now. So right. These fights do look like they're all over the card if you look at Tapology right now, but I'd be very surprised if all 5 of these weren't main card fights.
Okay, cool. We got a really good name versus name fight. Riri Hudson versus Indy Breyer. That's a good name versus name fight. In women's fighting. Yeah, we got some quality names here, which is always important. Gumby's got me starting off with a quality name on the one fighter. I'm like, how do I say this name? While I try to figure out how to say it, I'm going to do an ad read for you. How's that sound, ladies and gentlemen? You love it. It keeps us in your eyes and ears. Cut would be one of those people that keep us in your eyes and ears. And they are a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut down on the payment side of things so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Get on there now. Check out the SGPN custom bets that the staff, the crew have been putting up. You can do that by downloading Kutt today in the App Store or over on Kutt.com. That's K-U-T-T. That's how they spell it. And promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. SGPN. Underdog Fantasy. We'll give you discounts there too, okay? Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. It's basically a pick'em game. You pick 2 to 5 players, any sport you want. They have various stats there, and then you just easy as picking higher or lower on these stat totals that you want to make your play on, and you can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Boom. Sign up today with promo code MMASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code MMASGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. It must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right. The name in question, Loner Kavanaugh. Is that how you say it, Gumby? Is it Loner Kavanaugh?
I think so.
It's Lone, L-O-N-E, and then an apostrophe E-R, Kavanaugh, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yep. It says he's from China, which is another interesting thing here.
I know he's born in the U.S. or in Britain.
Born in England, fights out of Great Britain, top team, says he's from China, and his name is, I would have guessed, maybe Irish, maybe. They have interesting names like that.
The only thing I can guess is maybe his mom is from China.
Yeah.
Maybe because then we wouldn't get the last name, and you know, like I mean, he just looks like a British. Looks like a British guy.
Yeah, and if this isn't weird enough for you, Sean Marcos da Silva, he's not listed as being from Portugal. I mean, Brazil. Excuse me, he's from Germany. It says.
Yeah, and I know he's from Brazil originally.
Yeah, okay. He says he was born in Germany and fighting out of Germany, though. It says Gumby. Are you sure about that?
Both of his parents are Brazilian.
Yes. he definitely seems to be Brazilian. And this is a 3-5-minute round fight at flyweight. So we can't really tell you about the anything else about these fighters' backgrounds, but we'll tell you about their fighting resume going forward. But they're confusing too, these two fighters. Gumby was hyping up this man before, da Silva, how funny he is. He's 6-0 with 3 knockouts, 2-0 in Cage Warriors. He's fought a bantamweight, 3 inches taller than Kavanaugh. With his hair, he's probably... what, half a foot taller at the very least. Kavanaugh 5-0, 3 knockouts, 1 submission, 3-0 in Cage Warriors, 1 his last bit via TKO. He's 3 years younger than da Silva. That's all I got resume wise. Take it away from here.
So I think this is going to be a pick'em because both of them just, you know, like absolutely exciting kind of prospects. I think the thing with Kavanaugh is he's probably a little bit better technically. I really like his low leg kicks. He goes to them often. If he does choose to wrestle or if he's defensively wrestling, he scrambles really well. He's not going to get wrestled at all by Sean Marcos da Silva. That dude just wants to have the weirdest striking fight he possibly could. If MMA doesn't work out for him, Karate Combat should definitely call this dude because he's that kind of fun striker. But actually, I think that kind of striking is going to cause problems for Kavanaugh because Kavanaugh is so calculated and so careful in the way that he approaches things. You know, like throw a leg kick, reach for the range, check their hands. You know, he's one of those guys who like hold your hands to make sure he's checking range, throw another leg kick, find the range again. You just can't do that against Sean Marcos da Silva. You don't have time to calculate because this dude is spinning weirdly coming towards the face like the Tasmanian devil. Like he's just one of those guys who is just pure chaos. And because he's a flyweight, he seemingly can do that nonstop for as long as you let it. And so for me, I think he's going to cause a whole bunch of problems in the chaos there. As long as he doesn't tire himself out dancing on the way to the cage, he should be fine. I think basically what this comes down to is, can Kavanaugh deal with chaos? And I'm going to say he can't. I think Sean Marcos da Silva brings too much of that chaos, brings it in a weird enough way that I think Kavanaugh's better technical striking and faster technical striking winds up losing here anyway.
All right. So da Silva is the pick, and you think pick him, right?
Yeah, probably -110, -115 or something right on both sides.
Very, very good. We'll get you some good odds right off the bat, hopefully. All right. Where are we going next on the fight card? Sticking with flyweights, Tom Creasy from Great Britain versus Amir Malakpour from Sweden. I'm not going to check if these guys really are from where they claim to be from. We're just going to move on. Malakpour, 6-2, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. Knocked out one time, submitted one time. 2-0 in Cage Warriors. We got a lot of twos going on here. He's won 2 straight fights, 4-0 with 1 no contest over his last 5. I should have mentioned that with his official record, he has a no contest as well. Has not lost since September 2021. 3 straight of his wins have come via finish and used to fight at bantamweight, up weight class. Creasy, the boom, 5-1, 2 knockouts, 1 submission. Never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in Cage Warriors. He's won 4 straight fights. He's not lost since September 2017. 2 inches taller than Malakpour.
So I think Malakpour is probably going to come in here as the favorite, being that he's been in Cage Warriors a little while. He's picked up a couple of really nice wins, but probably not huge. Probably like -165. You're going to get like +140, +145 on the return for Creasy. And I actually like the dog here, should he come in as a dog especially, because the big thing for me, slightly better boxing than Malakpour. I think he hits harder. You mentioned Malakpour has been knocked out before. I think that that's obviously an issue. Malakpour for me is one of those guys who sort of needs to just get his wrestling going all the time in order to win these fights. I don't think he's going to beat too many people with his hands regularly. And what I've seen out of Creasy, granted against a lower level of competition than Malakpour, has been some really great takedown defense. He does a really good job of getting the underhooks in there. He gets his hips away from his opponent exceptionally well. So between like the counter wrestling of Creasy and the fact that like Malakpour I've seen have some like troubles in the scrambles, I think this fight stays on the feet for as long as Creasy wants it to. And I think Creasy's going to want it there all the time. I think he's faster. I think he hits harder. And Malikpour is kind of just like one of those guys who stays in exchanges too long and winds up getting hit. So he's like a very hittable, especially for flyweight, like a very hittable flyweight. So you got a guy with power versus a guy who's hittable and has been knocked out and whose kind of only path to victory is like, you know, wrestling, which I don't think he can do. So if Creasy comes in here as a dog, this is a line I'm probably going to like quite a bit if that is the case.
Excellent. What range are you playing him in, though? What if he's not a dog?
I'd say I think he's probably still okay to like throw in a parlay all the way up into like the negative 130s, negative 140s. I find it really hard to believe that he wouldn't be plus money at least to start. So like if you get to the books right away and basically beat the big market, I think you're going to see Creasy in there with a plus next to his name. How high, how low, I don't know necessarily. But yeah, if he gets steamed up and this winds up negative 150, negative 175, that then is probably when I just pass on Creasy. Because I like him. I don't like him so much that like I'm feeling him at like negative 200 here.
So basically, get in there before Turnip does, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Before Turnip hits bet on lineup.
Exactly, because Turnip will destroy the lines, not in your favor. All right. Before we move on, I think I should tell you about someone else. Before I forget to tell you about the lovely people at Game Time, you're gonna have some extra money burning a hole in your pocket after following Gumby's regional MMA picks. And just a little bit of it you can spend at Game Time. Game Time is the place for last-minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals and tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals and tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, MMA, and more. Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. By my math, that means you're making 10% money there. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Okay, moving on to a name you had mentioned before. Figlak, not Mikhail Figlak. This is Matej Figlak from Poland. Fighting at welterweight, 3 5-minute rounds versus Kamil Dolgowski from Poland as well. We got some Poland versus Poland action going on the Cage Warriors fight card. We'll tell you about Dolgowski first. Kamas is the nickname, K-A-M-A-S. 7-2, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. This is his Cage Warriors debut. Loss, win, over his last 4. Both of those wins in that stretch have come via submission. Used to fight at middleweight, 2014 pro MMA debut, 2 inches of height over Figlak. Figlak's nickname, Matt. 8-2, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. Knocked out once, submitted once. 5-2 in Cage Warriors, 6-1 over his last 7. He did win his last fight, and he is regional champ. Yesterday, good nicknames. Today, not so good nicknames.
So Figlak, gonna be a big favorite here. Wouldn't be surprised if it came in negative 400. If it does come in that high, this is just a straight pass fight for me, because I think Figlak's gonna win. He has every ability to win this fight. The big problem with me on Figlak is he just kind of looks like a different fighter since Judo Jim knocked him out. Judo Jim knocked him out 2 fights ago. And in his return fight after that, which he did win, granted, you got to give him that, he just looks so much more tentative than he has in the past. Like he's afraid to pull the trigger a little bit. And obviously that could be really bad news for like a decision or something like that, right? Like if this fight just is pitter patter for 15 minutes and it goes to decision, you don't want to be holding a ticket at negative 400, right? So I say if he comes in as a huge favorite like that, just pass. But he is my official pick to win. And mostly just because Dolgowski, if you watch his fights, you know, he's coming off of the Polish regional scene, and like a lot of low level opponents, really sloppy wrestling, in my opinion. Like he shoots from too far away. He doesn't get in really well on the takedown. He finishes it anyway, because the opponents he's fighting are kind of bad. I don't think any of that's going to work against Figlak. I think Figlak will piece him up. The problem is just like, you have to believe in Figlak to pull the trigger enough to piece him up. And I just don't anymore after the Judo Gym fight. Maybe he'll turn it around and like I'll feel better about him after this one. But in the meantime, like I said, if this comes in at negative 400 or negative 350, I think just leave him out. Just pretend, you know, sit this fight out here, because I think his inability to pull the trigger is kind of a red flag. But officially, I'll take Figlak.
You really think the degenerates can just sit one out, Gumby, that listen and watch us and talk in our Discord?
I mean, if you want to not sit this one out, you know, picking Dolgowski to throw like 17 strikes and Figlak to throw 16 over a 15-minute period, and then like sweating out a big dog ticket on Dolgowski. I mean, like, if you really want to, that'd be the play, because if Dolgowski comes in at -350, like, or +350 rather, there's probably a little value there just as like a fade of Figlak more than a foul of Dolgowski. I'm going to pick Figlak because I think he's the better fighter, but, you know, like, real red flags all around that guy right now.
All right. Warning, warning, danger, danger. Okay. We are moving on to, we're skipping fights on this order here. So I got to, here we go. Maybe co-main event. It's the second listed from the top as of now on Cage Warrior, on Tapology. Will Curry from England. Leon Aliu from Italy. And this is 3 5-minute rounds at, what did I say? Middleweight. Correct. Middleweight. Aliu, 11-3, 6 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once. 2-1 in Cage Warriors. 1-2 over his last 3, including winning his last fight. 0-1 on Contender Series. Who'd you lose to, Gumby?
Who's the Brazilian guy they just fired? With the big power.
Not the one that bites people.
No, the one with the big power at middleweight. We just watched him get beat again and get tired.
He lost to Bruno Fajeia, the Hulk.
Yeah, didn't he just get fired? Am I? Nope, wrong. Maybe. Wrong Brazilian who just got released. Never mind.
Right. Not all Brazilians are the same hard-hitting Brazilians. But anyhow, that's who Aliu lost to, that Brazilian. Multi-region championships on his...
Mantle.
Correct. Get shirt. SportsGamingPockets.com/store. And Aliu used to fight at light heavyweight. Curry, Drago is the nickname. See, I told you. Nicknames are lame this episode. 11-3. 3 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out one time. 7-3 in Cage Warriors. He's won 2 straight and 6 of 7. 3 straight of his wins have come via finish, and he definitely is not a sloppy fatty or chunky fat guy or anything like that.
The opposite.
Yes, the opposite. He looks like Gumby with his top off. I can only imagine. So that's all I got for you. Go ahead.
No, I think he's probably a little better shape than I am, but
a little bit.
I'll say this. I think Will Curry probably -250 here, and I'm going with him. I think he's a good parlay piece because Leon Aliu, I think honestly, Leon Aliu has the skills that could give Will Curry an issue if he pressed. Will Curry is a guy who moves backwards, maybe a little bit too much for my taste sometimes. So I think if Leon Aliu pushed forward and like tried to brawl with him, I think he'd maybe have some success. The problem is he's just like a guy who is very patient and tentative on the feet. And against a guy like Will Curry, who's, first of all, a pretty damn good grappler. If he can get this fight to the ground, I think it's over in like 2 minutes. His takedowns, kind of questionable. But then again, Leon Aliu got taken down like a dozen times by Darren Stewart. So if you're getting taken down by Darren Stewart all the time, like, maybe your takedown defense has got holes. So Will Curry, not the best takedowns, but they're probably going to be here anyway. His jiu-jitsu is more than good enough to sub Leon Aliu. And then on the feet, Will Curry's, he uses that length kind of well. Like, you know, he threw a really nasty axe kick in his last fight or two. I can't remember which one it was, but he threw like a nasty axe kick that landed. And with Leon Aliu just being a little bit tentative, he's just going to like pick him apart from the outside with his really long reach, wait for Aliu to make a mistake and rush in. And then he's going to hit that takedown. We're going to get a sub. So Will Curry, I'm going to say like -250, could have been higher, but Aliu has that like, you know, regional champion pedigree, been in Cage Warriors for a while, was on Contender Series. That's going to draw the number down a little bit. So we'll get Curry in the -200s, and I think tons of value there.
Gumby can't resist a hunky body. You got to take Will Curry. All right. Before we jump to the main event, one last sponsor to remind you to get in on the deal we have for you at Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets. The sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bet's revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, we're getting to our main event. 3 5-minute rounds at featherweight. Jordan Vucinic from England. Simon Diana from Italy. And let's jump into it, shall we? Diana, the Tiger, 10-4, four knockouts, two submissions. He's been knocked out three times, submitted once. So finished in all of his losses. 1-0 in cage warriors. He's part of a 3-fight winning streak. Before that, he lost 2 straight fights. 0-2 in Bellator. He's fight at bantamweight. Vucinic, the epidemic, 11-2, two knock Gumby's.
That's a good one. That.
Yep. 11-2, two knockouts, four submissions, never been finished in a fight. 7-1 in cage warriors, former champion of the cage warriors world at featherweight. He's won 2 straight and 9 of 10. Both of his past 2 wins have come via submission. He used to fight at lightweight.
Massive favorite here, Vucinic. Be shocked if it was under negative 400. Probably could be negative 500 or negative 600. The thing about Deanna, and you know, like anybody out there trying to be like, oh, maybe to try to get some dog money and to not just have to lay the wildest chalk here on Vucinic. The thing about Deanna is he's got crazy forward movement. He comes forward no matter what, which like in some cases is good, but against the guy who's got really good reactionary doubles and excellent top control, that's a problem. And then the bigger problem from Deanna is just that he doesn't cut angles well. So he'll like come forward, somebody will circle away, and he just like, he doesn't have any answer for it. He winds up chasing instead of cutting off. And as a result, always winds up out of position. When he does fire, when he feels like he gets you close to the cage and somebody circles away, he like overextends himself. And I've seen him like fall down throwing some of those strikes sometimes, or look like he's going to fall down. So like, he's going to move forward. He's going to be off balance, and he's going to fight a guy who takes people down and submits people, and that's his thing. So, like, I mean, like, this is an easy slam dunk fight for Vucinic. I think this is, like, weird matchmaking for me because, again, Vucinic to me is a guy who had the title at one point in time, has kind of been a, you know, I've always thought was, like, a good pick for Contender Series, or, you know, maybe just to be signed for, like, a British card if one was coming up. So like, I think he's just this, maybe this is a showcase fight for him, but yeah, this should not be competitive in any way, shape or form.
Oh, exciting. Can't wait then. Right.
I teased at the beginning that all of these fights were like really exciting in terms of, the matchmaking. This is kind of the exception of that one.
All right. Well, regardless, that is the winning pick. Gumby's got to give you winning picks, and who knows, maybe the odds won't be quite as bad as you fear. Yeah, the nicknames in this episode, except for maybe the epidemic, weren't quite as good. Yesterday's much better. So if you haven't listened to yesterday's, make sure you listen to that episode. All right, let's recap Gumby's picks here. He's got Vucinic, he's got Curry, he's got Figlak, he's got Creasy, he's got Da Silva. Who are you most excited about all those people? Da Silva probably, right? Because he's a wild man.
Da Silva in terms of watching fight. Da Silva Kavanaugh is going to be the fight of the night. Hands down, it's going to be so exciting. So Da Silva in terms of watching him fight, in terms of line, Creasy for sure. Like I think, obviously we don't have the lines right now, spoiler alert, but like, yeah. Creasy, I think is going to have a lot of value on him.
All right, fantastic. Hopefully this episode brought a lot of value to your lives. If you made it this far in it, I'm assuming you're dead, or you need better hobbies if you listen this long or watch this long and you didn't enjoy it. Thank you for sticking it out. Actually, you didn't have to stick it out. We had lots of fun here. If you want more fun, the Discord is the place to go. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. You can hit us up on Twitter. Gumby hopefully will reply. He runs that account for us, SGPN MMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer there and on Instagram. Hit up my Substack, check it out, see if you like what I have to offer there. MoneyMMA.substack.com with a nice logo that Gumby designed for me. What a great guy. And enter my pick'em contest. You can win free stuff there. Gumby has got another podcast, shockingly, called the Top Turtle MMA Podcast. I'm not on it. And another shock, it's good, actually, without me on it. Go figure, right? He interviews interesting people. That may be why. Who is on it this week, Gumby?
Kyle the Monster Nelson before his UFC Atlantic City fight. And then we're talking to Court the Crusher McGee, who is fighting at UFC Vegas 90.
Do you talk to Kyle Nelson all about Cottage Country in Ontario, Gumby?
We don't talk about Canada at all, actually.
You had a traitor Canadian on last episode, and now you have you don't even talk about Huntsville with Kyle Nelson. Go figure. Nope. And he's fighting out of my hometown for the first 6 months of my life, Stony Creek. So there's lots to like about Kyle Nelson, even though we did pick against him and he burned us. He's on a streak, that man. Two straight wins. Yeah, eh? Crazy.
And that was after going 1-4-1 to start. Yep, his six really bad fights. And he talks about that turnaround on my show.
And now that he's on Gumby's show, get ready for the turnaround to be completed. No, there's no jinx. That was years ago, okay? Everyone, everything's fine now. Brian Barberena's, no one's had their insides explode since they've talked to Gumby for, what, 2 years, 3 years now?
It's been a minute.
get on our other website, the one that we write for, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Check out all their stuff there. Gumby and I have articles every day on there. If that's not enough to make it your homepage, I don't know what else would do the trick. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/patreon, so we can crush corporate gambling. We're going to be back tomorrow. No rest for the wicked. We have a pretty solid UFC fight night card because it's going down in Atlantic City. It's not going down at the Apex. So we got some real fights to break down here. So we will be doing that very, very shortly. Until then, you can catch us in the Discord. It'll be the Epidemic Jeff Fox and Drago Gumby Vreeland. We'll talk to you then. Bye.